What's up, guys? Nathan here. Today, I'm going to give you the top seven signs that you are facing a poker pro. If you see anybody doing these seven things at your poker table, it is likely you're up against a professional. Let's jump into it. All right, guys. So sign number seven is getting three streets of value versus the fish every single time. Now, guys, I have discussed before, this has been one of the absolute keys throughout my entire career as a professional poker player. And I'm going to give you an example right now. But the bottom line, guys, is poker pros never leave money on the table. So you raise up ace, jack, ace of hearts, jack of clubs, and a recreational player, aka our fishy friends, makes the call. Now, these are the kind of players that will play 50% of all hands dealt to them. They just play for fun. They often just play on the weekends. They're often having a beer or two, maybe watching the game at the same time. They don't take the game seriously like you do watching a video like this. They just play the game for fun. So the flop comes down with a jack of diamonds, eight of spades, and five of spades. You bet, they call. Pretty standard spot. Probably don't need to go into any more detail here. We have top pair, top kicker on this board. There are multiple draws on this flop with a 9-10 has an open-ended straight draw. 6-7 has an open-ended straight draw. There are also tons of different pair hands that this kind of player can have. Remember, this player is playing 50% of all hands literally dealt to them, so they can easily have a hand like jack 10, jack 9, jack 7, jack 6, jack 4, fish play all these hands. They could have a hand like ace 8, king 8, queen 8, ace 5, 8, 7, 5, 6, 5, 3. Guys, I could go on and on and on. Recreational players, fish play all these hands. So you just want to make a bet here for value. So let's go see the turn. So the turn comes down with a three of hearts, totally harmless card. This is what we call a brick. You definitely want to be betting here again. This does not complete any of the draws. I should have mentioned there's a flush draw on the flop as well. This is a heart, not a spade. So it doesn't complete the flush draw either. So another standard spot, guys, here on the turn. You bet they make the call. Let's go see the river. River comes down with the king of hearts. Now, this is where a lot of people get confused. They get gun shy. They think, oh, this lucky fish must have hit his king on the river. But guys, as we're going to talk about in a second, that is the key mistake of putting someone on a hand and not a range. Yes, a small percentage of the time, our fishy friend here is going to spike the king on the river. But guys, remember, there's all of those hands we discussed before, all the broken draws, all the worst pairs, the jack 10, the jack 9, the ace 8, the 5-6. These hands are still going to call us here on the river, guys. And that is why it is a monumental mistake to not make another bet here again versus a player like this who is likely to call. Guys, do not leave money on the table. Always get three streets of value. Bet the flop, turn, and river versus the fish, and you're going to have a lot more success. All right, guys. So as mentioned, let's talk about hand reading now. And the big thing here is range analysis. Guys, we're talking about ranges, not hands. Putting that man or that woman on a hand, that is the stuff for Hollywood movies, guys. This is not what you need to be focusing on as a serious poker player. So let me give you an example once again. You've got ace, king, ace of hearts, king of spades in early position, and a tight player calls you on the button. So what kind of range can we put this player on at this point? Well, clue number one, this is a tight player. So they're not going to be playing 50% of all hands like our fishy friend in the previous example. So I would put this player on this range here. Pocket jacks all the way down to pocket twos. So that means pocket jacks, pocket tens, pocket nines, all the way down to pocket twos. They're also going to be playing ace, queen, ace, jack, ace, 10, king, queen, king, jack, queen, jack, and a couple suited connectors, like for example, a 10, 9 of hearts or a 9, 8 of spades. Now you might notice that there's a couple of very important hands that are missing on this list. For example, pocket aces, pocket kings, pocket queens, and ace, king. Now, why did I not include these hands in this range? And by the way, this is what a range is. This is how we do hand reading in the modern era. Guys, the reason why I did not include those four hands is because we would expect a player like this to re-raise us pre-flop. Remember, guys, we're taking all of the information that we get in a poker hand. Tight player, just called. So we can immediately narrow their range down to this range of hands here and also discount hands like aces, kings, queens, and ace, king, because we would assume that they would have re-raised us pre-flop most of the time. So guys, this is how poker pros and professionals think about the game, analyze situations, and put someone on a hand. It's about putting them on a range of hands, and as we progress through the hand, that range will narrow depending on the player type and, once again, the actions that they take in the hand. All right, guys, let's move on to sign number five that you're up against a poker pro, and that is never getting too high and never getting too low. Guys, let me give you a simple sports analogy here. I'm from Canada, so you might already assume that I'm a big hockey fan, and you would be very correct in that assumption. Go Canucks, go, by the way, one cup before I die. Guys, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are a two-month ordeal where you win a lot of games and you lose a lot of hockey games, hopefully more wins than losses. There's a common saying that you will hear hockey players say again and again. We're talking about the best professional NHL players. They will tell you never get too high when you win and never get too low when you lose. And this, in a nutshell, is what poker is all about. Let me give you an example. Day one, you win $500. Who cares? Day two, you lose $300. Who cares? Day three, you lose $400. Who cares? Day four, you win $1,000. Who cares? Day five, you win $200, guys. Who cares? Guys, this is how professionals think about the game of poker. They don't throw a party and a parade when they win, and they don't get down in the doldrums and get depressed and assume that it's all rigged against them when they lose. They understand how to keep an even keel in this game. They understand that you're going to have many, many winning and losing days over the long run. Obviously, the goal is to have more winning than losing, but guys, poker is an endless roller coaster game, and you absolutely have to make peace with this if you ever want to have large-scale success in this game. All right, guys, so sign number four that you might be facing a poker pro is they hammer on the weak players. Guys, so you already know that you need to be raising and re-raising preflop with hands like pocket aces, pocket kings, pocket queens, pocket jacks, and ace king. I don't need to tell you that, but what a lot of people fail to realize these days is that there is a lot of money to be made by hammering on the weak players who like to find a reason to fold, to back down. And luckily, there's tons of them in today's games. They basically do not want to risk all of their money unless they have a really strong hand. And I'm sure, as you already know about poker as well, is you don't get very strong hands in this game very often. So you want to be light three betting them sometimes. And a three bet, by the way, is a re-raise before the flop in poker with hands like a 9-8 of hearts, for example. Now, why do we do this? Number one, like I said, we're picking on one specific player type. Those are the weak players who like to fold too much, like to give themselves a reason to fold. If you're using a HUD, you're playing online poker, you can just look for players with a 70% or higher fold to three bet percentage. I'll include the link to the HUD that I use in the description below. But if you're playing live poker, if you're playing without a HUD, you just simply want to look once again for the weaker players who are constantly trying to find a reason to play it safe. The other reason why I choose hands like this is because they have a ton of potential value after the flop. A hand like 9-8 of hearts can hit straights, flushes, two pairs, trips, all sorts of beautiful combinations that could potentially crack a big pair, even if they have one, like pocket kings. So guys, if you really want to take your game to the next level, you need to learn to identify the weaker players at the poker table and apply consistent pressure on them in all situations before the flop and on the flop turn and river. All right, guys, moving on to sign number three that you're up against a poker pro, and that is that they pay heavy attention to their position. Guys, I put the image up here on your screen there, and the key takeaway here is that not all seats at the poker table were created equal. The vast majority of your profit in poker is going to come from the cutoff and the button. The button is the one with the dealer chip in front of it, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and the cutoff is the seat directly to the right of that. The reason why the vast majority of your profit is going to come from these two seats is because you get to act last on the flop, turn, and river, which is a massively proven statistical advantage. Because you get to act last, you get to see what they do first, and then you get to react to them. This allows you to get more value bets in, get more bluffs in, and even fold your hand and save money if you believe them, if you think that you're beat. So what is the solution here, guys? All professional poker players know that you should be playing much more of your hands, the majority of your hands, from these two seats at the poker table. If you are curious about what hands I suggest playing as a professional poker player, I have charts and diagrams in my free poker cheat sheet showing you exactly what hands to play, and I'll link that up in the description below. All right, guys, let's move on to sign number two that you're up against a poker pro, and that is that they just call versus aggressive players. Guys, a lot of amateur poker players make the mistake of getting frustrated when an aggressive player is constantly trying to bluff them, like we already talked about before with the light three betting. This is the kind of style that I play and teach by constantly applying pressure on them. And the mistake that people make is they try to fight fire versus fire against me by trying to bluff me back. That is not the correct strategy, guys, to use versus an aggressive player. You just want to flat that call instead in a position. Remember, we already talked about that. That is specifically on the cutoff and button. And you want to look to outplay them after the flop. And you want to give them the rope to do what aggressive players love to do, which is bluff. So, for example, you've got two red nines on the button and a loose and aggressive player raises. Guys, what you should do in a spot like this is just flat call. Because if you go for the three bet in the spot, the re-raise, this opens up the door for them to put in the four bet and basically put you in a really difficult situation where you're faced with risking a ton of your chips with a good but still mediocre hand like pocket nines. So the much more profitable option here, guys, is to just call, especially when you're in position, go see a flop and look to outplay this player and just let them bluff at it. All right, guys, let's move on to the number one sign that you are facing a poker pro, and that is that they visualize their success. Guys, I used to do this quite literally. I would put my winning poker graph, which again, you can get from a HUD program. And once again, I'll link the one that I use in the description below. I would literally get my winning poker graph and I would put it as the wallpaper on my desktop computer or on my laptop. So I literally have to stare at that and see the reality that I am a winning poker player over the long run so that I don't allow myself to get frustrated by the routine ups and downs of this game that we already talked about before. And what this allowed me to do is to constantly stay focused on the long run and visualizing my long-term success in this game. The other thing that helped me tremendously is when I finally learned to simply turn off the haters. Guys, you need to understand that 80% of people lose at poker over the long run. And as I always say, poker is a lot like driving. Pretty much everyone thinks they're either really, really good at it or at least pretty good, a lot better than others. So we have two forces coming together here. We have most people are going to lose, and yet everybody has a massive ego in this game. So you already know what's going to happen here. There's going to be a lot of people that are jealous, angry, and quite frankly, they're going to despise you for your success. Guys, they're going to say stuff at the poker table, on the internet, everywhere. I've seen it again and again over the years, and the best poker players in the world, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, they do not care what other people think about them. They tune out the haters and they just stay focused on the next hand.
I hope you enjoyed this poker podcast episode. If you want to know my complete strategy for beating small and mid-stakes poker games, make sure you go grab a copy of my free poker cheat sheet that's available on my website at blackrain79.com. And also make sure you hit like and subscribe here to the podcast, as I'm putting out new episodes every single week to help you guys quickly get beating your poker games. I wish you guys all the best at the poker tables. I'll catch you next week. This has been Nathan Williams with blackrain79.com.